Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as I tell you every week, this is one of my favorite times of the week to be here with you, that we can share information, have our questions answered, and one of my favorite people come with me. And that's our own Dr. Presser.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Richard. We're so glad that you're here. And for those of you who are here on with us, maybe you got one of our emails. Maybe you've signed up to receive the emails. And if you did, you know that tonight we're going to have Steve Fawcett. Richard, before we begin, would you kind of give a little bird's eye view of who Steve Fawcett was?
Yes, Steve built quite a high profile in the world because of his extraordinary feats. He started out in business anyway as a futures trader and made quite a lot of money as a futures trader and had a newsletter and all kinds of stuff. So he built up quite a successful business that made him a lot of money. I think he then sold that business and really was very interested in pursuing unusual feats. And so he set sailing records. He set records for example, flying around the world unaided in a balloon, all kinds of oddball kind of extreme sports, you might say. And to most people, these looked very high risk, and really the key thing that Steve did was to factor those risks out. And so he was pretty successful in doing all of this. So he did this for quite a lot of years. And because I guess I had a passing interest in sailing and seeing what people do in that regard, I was aware of Steve. And then I think it was September 3rd in, I'm guessing a bit now, about 1997. No, 2007. Excuse me, 2007. He disappeared on a short flight, and there was much speculation about what had happened to Steve. And then, as I have mentioned on a little website page at stevefawcettmessages.com, Steve got in contact with me through someone in Holland, which was well before I was beginning to do any kind of channeling work, and really before Carolyn and I had started to work really closely together. And so Steve made himself known to us. But Steve really became known to the world, if you will, through that adventurism work, I guess you might say, making quite a high profile and also working quite closely with Richard Branson in some of those attempts. So they were very good friends. That probably gives you some profile without me getting lost in all the details.
Thank you, Richard, for that, because you did a much better job of that than I could have. I'm not the sailing person that you are, so you kind of had a head start. And for those of you who are familiar with our show, you know that we talk to people on the other side. They come forth with a message. And the beautiful thing about all of this is that you are able to call in and personally ask your own questions. I mean, is this beautiful or what? And one of the most beautiful things about the whole thing is that Richard tunes into the individual. And if you follow along, you might be able to become very close to those that we speak to on the other side. All you have to do is relax, sort of have a picture of Steve. It's a good thing to, if you have a picture in your mind of what he looked like, put it in the third eye, in your third eye, call his name, and you'll be connected with him also. And Richard has such a gift for this. He truly does. And we're going to ask him, if he would, to call in Steve, because I know he's here, and tell the audience what his energy feels like. As I said, Richard's very good at this. So, Richard, tell us what Steve feels like vibrationally to you.
I experience Steve's energy, again, quite centrally in my heart area, but it's interesting because it's quite spread, both left to right in a sense. And I didn't know Steve in life, but I sense he had quite a sense of humour, that he was perhaps quite a character, quite a colourful character. I feel that there's this bubbliness to him, almost, is how I describe it. A lot of zest for life, a lot of really desire to engage life in many, many ways. And as I said, it might sound strange to you, but I sense that he had quite a sense of humour, and I'm sure still does. So there's this breadth of energy, a clean energy, a loving, vital, buoyant kind of nature. That's how I describe what I experience from him.
That's beautiful, Richard. Thank you. And one of the things that I find so fascinating is how each person that we bring forth, and you do this, the feeling that comes forth from them is always different. You never seem to amaze me. And yes, I sense that Steve, like you, had this great sense of humor. Not the kind that he would be a practical joker, but he liked to have a good time. And I suspect that he laughed a lot also. I feel that about him as I connect with him too. And Richard, if you would be kind enough, Steve has a message that he would like to have the opportunity to give to our audience.
Let's see what he has to say. I wish to mention to all of you that are listening to this show now or the recording later that it was only after I crossed over that I began to understand that I had a deep connection to what is unfolding in this time. I did not live my life with any awareness of this whatsoever, but after I crossed over, I came to understand that indeed I had lived my life in a manner which enabled me to fulfill the mission that I had come to fulfill. Some of you have come to understand that, like many of you listening to this, that I am or was an incarnated cherubim angel. And as such, I came forth in support of this work. And I came to understand that the reason that I built the high profile that I did through my exploits, which I have to say I enjoyed enormously, they brought me great excitement and great joy to be able to, in a way, break new frontiers and yet do it in a manner which to most people looked very risky, but in fact was not that risky because I, as Richard said, worked to factor the risk out. I was not really a risk taker, even though people saw it that way, and that was for me part of the joy in all of this. And so I came to understand after I had disappeared in my plane that indeed I had pre-planned to disappear in exactly the way that I disappeared. And I will say to you that for the most part, the lives that you live out, even in quite detailed ways in many cases, are reflective of the path that you chose before you ever incarnated. This is important for you to understand. You are the creators of your own lives, just as I was. And as you live your life in that dimension, you can be completely unaware of this. But as those of you who have been walking a spiritual path with sufficient rigor will understand that indeed we do this, that we are the creators of our own lives. However, I wish to take a moment to remind those of you who are familiar with some of my story and to inform those of you that are not that on that date that Richard mentioned, I disappeared. And it has been said and it has been documented that indeed my plane had been discovered and my some of my bones, if you will, were discovered and a DNA test was done to demonstrate that, in fact, it was me that had died in that crash. But I will say to you that this is the work of those who know very well how to manipulate the truth. They came to understand through the first ebook that I gave to Carolyn about where I had gone and what I was doing and what I intended to do, that they wished to discredit what I had come forth to do. And they have been more effective in that discrediting than ever I expected they would be able to, because they have been able to sustain the suppression of the truth through till this time. I went off on that flight to investigate a bright light that I had seen on more than one previous occasion near one of the secret bases in that area of the US. And I, as I approached the base, became aware of that light and decided to investigate it. And so I flew very high, really to the limit of what that small plane is capable of, and suddenly found myself being drawn up into that light. It was not something that I enjoyed in that moment. I realized that I had lost control of the plane, not in the way that you might think, but indeed I and the plane that I was in were being drawn up, if you will, into something above, the source of this light, if you will. And so I blacked out in that process and sometime later woke up on what you might consider a healing table surrounded by beings that at the time I did not recognize. And they worked very hard to, you might say, acclimate my physical body to this dimension in which I found myself. And subsequently I got to see my plane, which was indeed crushed beyond almost recognition through the process that had gone through, and I was surprised that indeed I had been able to survive so well physically. And so I mention this to you because indeed you might consider that what I went through in my own way was what will be the experience of humanity at that March 2013 equinox, where you will go through this ascension process. You will move to another dimension with your physical bodies. This is exactly what I did. I have retained my physical body, and yet I have moved to a higher dimension. There have been other beings that have done this in a carefully planned way with a lot of discipline and development, and I did not do that. In a sense, you might say I stumbled into it, though indeed stumbling was not the truth of the matter, as I expressed earlier. And so these beings worked with my body to help it make that transition. So you might say I have ascended in the way that the rest of you that choose this path will do at that March 2013 equinox. So I wanted to fill in a little of this background for you because it has been a long time since I shared this material through that first ebook. And as I said, it was not that long after that first ebook was released that the Black Ops individuals created that faked crash site. And the truth of what happened, the truth of what that plane actually was suppressed, because it would not be difficult to demonstrate that this was not the aeroplane that I was flying. Yes, the number on the tail matched the number that was on the plane that I was flying, but that is not difficult to do. What is more difficult to do is to replicate the serial numbers on the engine of the plane and of the prop. They both have their own serial numbers, of as any of you who have done much flying will understand. And these do not match the plane that I was flying. And this information has been suppressed so that this story can be retained. And so I mention this background. And I came to understand that indeed I had built this high profile, you might say, within the public awareness, so that I could then use that platform to bring forth some understandings for humanity about what was going to unfold. And that is what I have really begun to do through the ebooks that I have given to Carolyn and Richard. And so it was that that effort was made to discredit what I had begun to do. And it was only after I had crossed over that I began to understand that this indeed was the mission that I had set up. And so it was that I began to seek to make contact with, I wasn't sure who at the time. When I first crossed over, or not long after I crossed over, I connected with a number of individuals who are able to communicate with beings on the other side. And I did not fully understand when I began that process that I really was searching for Carolyn. And so I made that connection somewhat indirectly through Richard, as he mentioned, and the rest has unfolded, to an extent at least, as it was intended. And so I wanted to give you this background picture so that you have a reminder of who I was, you might say, in life, and the journey that I have followed since, in a sense, as I, you might say, ascended in my aeroplane, in a way, so that I could begin to bring forth these understandings in the way that I have sought to do.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for the background. I have a question. You've gone through, you might say, I don't want to use the word trouble, but you've gone through a lot of work to get to where you are now. And it was very important work for you. You had a great mission, a great desire to complete this. So we have, you might say, the ear of an audience very interested in what you have to say. I'd like for you, if you would, give me a thought or two as the most important message that you want to leave with the people who are listening to you right now. If you were here, and you are in their midst, what would you tell them that you really want them to remember?
I want you to understand that you are truly living in an extraordinary time. A time that I've come to understand that was long planned. A time indeed that, a moment in time you might say, that was planned before even the creation of planet Earth. And this is that moment that you know as the December 2012 solstice. This is a moment in time which represents an extremely powerful cycle boundary. You, as you live your lives, do not, for the most part, understand the importance and power of cycles in creation. There are those that have made a great study of cycles and their power, and perhaps the best known of these is that individual known as W.D. Gann, who used cycles and his understanding of cycles to trade the stock markets and futures markets in the early part of this century in particular, but beginning late in the last, or should I say, the century before, in the early 1900s, let us put it that way, where he made and lost many fortunes, and he indeed forecast the date of the 1929 fall in the stock market, the American stock market, and he forecast the highest price of the Dow index, and he published that about a year in advance of it occurring. And he used these kind of patterns, his understanding of cycles, not only for trading purposes, but indeed to forecast, for example, the occurrence of the Second World War and some key events that occurred in that time. And so Gann came to understand cycles in an extremely powerful way. And he was working with relatively small cycles, you might say. But there are indeed very long cycles of time. And there is quite validly a perception within the human experience that you have free will. You have the right to live as you choose. And in a sense, that is true. But what most of humanity does not understand is that that free will exists within cycle boundaries. The boundaries of cycles are not flexible. They are fixed and defined. And some of those cycles are more important than others. And I am aware that quite recently an individual came forth on Project Camelot to talk about working with the looking glass technology, which has been used to examine the future in particular and seek to manipulate that future, to talk about how all of the timelines that exist all come together in a singularity at that time and pass through that singularity and out the other side into what you might call a defined future. And this indeed is so. This indeed is what that moment represents. And I want you all to understand the importance of this moment. One of the reasons that false boundaries, you might say, have been created in the awareness of humanity has been to distract humanity from this. The year 2000 date was seen as some special boundary. The previous millennium entry was also seen in this way, the year 1000. And so there have been these moments, these false moments created to distract humanity from the importance of this very powerful moment that is about to be in your experience. This will transform your experience of life, as these two have been seeking to share in many ways, not only through my ebooks, but material I have brought forth from others about what this time represents. And so if I could leave you with one key message, it is the wonder of this time that you are currently in and the extraordinary moment that awaits you at the end of this calendar year, and followed up by that extraordinary transformation in consciousness, that ascension event which awaits you in March of 2013. And so I will say to you, be aware of the importance of preparing, that indeed the first step in this process really begins with the reclaiming, in a sense, of many aspects of how humanity lived prior to the fall in Atlantis, the reclaiming of that physical perfection, the clearing of past life energies to allow this to unfold. So I mention these things to you so you understand.
Steve, thank you so much. There is an item that I am particularly interested in, and that is what people see on the other side and what happens here in our dimension, because sometimes it's different. Sometimes people on your side see a particular event upon us, and for one reason or another, it doesn't happen. Can you give us some insight as to the difference in pictures, the difference in experiences between your world and ours?
Perhaps the key aspect of this difference is that I am currently living in what you refer to as the now. That is, past, present, and future are all available to my experience at my choosing. And so I can readily travel back, you might say, into the past and examine it, and indeed change that past to alter my present experience. And in a way, this is what people do with revisiting a past life and changing the experience in that past life to impact their current life, clear energies from this current life, or allow experiences to change in this current life. It really is an example of this process. And similarly, I can journey into the future, and I can examine the future as it may unfold for humanity, indeed for an individual. However, the thing to understand about examining the future is that it is best expressed in possibility and probability. When events are further out, for the most part, they are expressed as possibility. They are various possibilities. They are things that possibly might happen. And so, because there is an array of possibilities, even though some of those possibilities are more likely than others, they are still only in that phase of possibility. And so many things can happen to influence those possibilities. As things get closer in, for the most part, they then move towards probability. Many of those possibilities begin to fall away based on many factors, in particular, the path that an individual has walked to move forward, for example, or the choices and experiences of humanity, if you will, collectively, and these influence how events begin to unfold. And so what happens is that as you approach a particular future moment, you might say, events move from a broad array of possibilities into a smaller array of probabilities, and some of those probabilities are more likely than others. And so when we speak about what we see happening, we are speaking about possibilities and probabilities. And for sure, events which are very close in are far more probable, and yet it is not a guarantee that they will unfold. And so until it comes forth in your experience, it is a possibility or probability as it is existing in your future or my future. And so even though you experience this linear time experience, you really only experience the present. It is true that your past and future exist in exactly the same way for you as I am expressing. It's just that in your dimension, you do not experience them in the way that I am speaking. And so there is that unfolding, if you will, of possibility and probability. And we may examine things that we see being quite high probability Even though they may be high probability as we see them, it does not guarantee that they will unfold, because there are other influences. There are beings who have been very committed to interfering with some of these things. And this does impact the timing with which some of these things have unfolded. I will also say to you that embedded in that perspective of possibility and probability as we would speak of it is the fact that there are patterns of attempting to bring forth what you might term a golden age on planet Earth, only to see it dissipate, only to see it fail. This is a pattern that has been unfolding on the planet ever since the fall in Atlantis. And in its own way, these experiences of things about to come forth, only to find that they do not, has been embedded in our experience of what we see to be the possibility and probability unfolding, only to see it fall away. And so this might sound strange to you, but those patterns are reflected in the future as we see it. And so we see these things at times as very probable, only to see that they don't unfold, in part for the reasons that I have mentioned. And so I hope this gives you some sense of this. I will also add that superimposed upon this possibility and probability scenario that I have discussed are these very fixed and finite boundaries that I mentioned earlier, and that is cycle boundaries. Key cycle boundaries are inflexible. They exist and they will unfold. And so you might also say, just as free will unfolds within the boundaries of a particular consciousness and within the boundaries of cycles, so too possibility and probability unfolds within these cycle boundaries also. And this, if you reflect upon it, you will see is very consistent with what has been brought forth, as I mentioned, in relation to the experience with Project Looking Glass, where all of the timelines all come together in that singularity. And so despite what people might do, or beings of other types might do, to seek to change what will unfold at that moment, it cannot be changed. It is locked. It is defined. And all possibility and probability collapses into that singularity. That is the nature of such cycle boundaries. And the cycle boundary that I speak of with that December 2012 solstice is perhaps the most powerful cycle boundary that has ever been experienced by beings that exist within this creation.
Thank you, Steve. You gave us an excellent idea of prophecy without using the word prophecy. It's what I had in mind when I was talking about, you know, possibility and probability really makes up that word that we use as prophecy. So you did an excellent job of bringing that forth. I'd like to understand a little more about these cycle boundaries. And I want to make sure I understand something that you said. Were the cycle boundaries put into place before the creation of Earth? Do I have that correct?
The key cycle boundaries impact much more than the experience of planet Earth or those that are incarnated upon it. This cycle boundary, which you know as this December 2012 solstice, is a cycle which applies not only within your cosmos, but indeed in some aspects exists beyond it. Not only does it represent that moment where the energies of transformation will come forth upon your planet, but also, it is the moment when there is the beginning of what is known as the in-breath of this current cycle of Brahma. which are those long, long cycles of what you might call time of creation. A cycle of Brahma is a cycle where there is an initial expansion in creation. You might consider it begins with what your science considers the Big Bang. It expands out to a certain point and then begins to all collapse back into all there is, or source, or prime creator, as you might know that being in the center of the cosmos. And so this moment represents the beginning of that in-breath. And even more powerful than that cycle is that this moment represents the end of the cycle of the dark. And the cycle of the dark is even longer than one cycle of Brahma within your cosmos. Indeed, it is a cycle that exists beyond your cosmos. It exists throughout all expressions of consciousness. It is hard for you to comprehend what I have just described. But I mention this because it is important that you understand that the timing of ascension for planet Earth and humanity was chosen to coincide with this powerful cycle boundary. Indeed, the unfolding of creation of this planet, and indeed this solar system, and the journey of humanity was all timed to align with this extraordinary cycle boundary. So yes, indeed, this cycle boundary was defined a long, long time, you might say, before even this planet was created.
Thank you, Steve. I do want to get a better understanding of what you're saying about cycle boundaries and Brahma and how all of this fits in. But before we do that, we'd like to take a call from one of our listeners, and this is Douglas from Los Angeles, is on line 3. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
We're fine, and welcome, Douglas. What can we pass along to Steve? What's your question?
I wondered if he could elaborate a bit more on the dark and sort of his advice on our relationship to the dark in our present circumstances. Like he mentioned that the books that he wrote with you, that based on, you know, some tampering with the evidence of the plane crash and other things, that you know, certain elements aligned with the dark have been able to discredit his work. And I know that the dark is working on many other levels to discredit work and to stop rejuvenation, to stop ascension, many people advise that, you know, we create the dark, that if we focus on them, we're creating them, that by focusing on them, by saying that we acknowledge them or are aware of them, that in doing so, we create them. And yet, if they actually exist, isn't it better to be aware of them and to have an awareness rather than perhaps to be naive?
Well, what you're saying brings forth a lot of questions, actually. So let's start with one. Maybe we should start with the actual concept of how the dark came about, what they do. And let's start with that question that you brought forth. Is the dark interfering with us because we are giving our attention to them? Would that be how you would phrase that, Douglas?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's work with that one first.
Thanks.
As you say, Douglas, there are those who believe that what is referred to as the dark is simply an aspect of the human psyche which needs to be, you might say, exposed and healed through love and light and understanding. And there is no doubt that there is that journey for every individual to follow. But I will say to you that those who believe that this is really all that the dark involves seriously misunderstand what is unfolding. I will take a broader perspective on the subject that you have opened because I feel it is helpful to look at this in its broader context. And I will say that I now understand that indeed those beings that have walked a path of wishing to exploit others, because that in essence is the nature of the path of the dark, wishing to exploit others for their own benefit and to deny in a sense the role of love and the role of prime creator beings, not just the one responsible for this cosmos, but indeed beyond, that those that pursue that path, that notion unfolded and existed long before this cosmos existed. This I understand. I am not in a place to say that I understand exactly where or when or how the dark first came into existence, though I do know these two with whom I am working here have worked on levels examining this because of the nature of their mission. And I will say that there are dark beings that exist within this cosmos who have destroyed planets, destroyed solar systems, you might say, and have exploited many beings walking a path of light for their own purposes because they wish to exploit others to generate energies of fear and pain because they harvest those energies and use them for their own purposes. And so it is important to understand that this type of being has existed even since before the creation of this particular cosmos. And when one examines the activities upon planet Earth at this time, there are indeed those individuals who are pursuing the agenda of these ones. They are those who, for example, wish to control all of humanity for their own purposes. It is simply, you might say, a manifestation, a reflection, a mirroring of the broader agenda of the dark, simply unfolding upon this planet. And so those that wish to control all of humanity are simply, you might say, fulfilling the path of the dark within the context of planet Earth. I do not wish to minimize the impact that this has on so many of humanity or to diminish its importance and its destructive effects upon so many. And it has been manifest in so many ways, as many of you understand, and you, Douglas, I know, understand. The beings that in your situation interfere with the music industry, those that have suppressed sources of free energy so that the oil and similar energy-based industries can be sustained and be used to drain the financial resources of humanity. I could list many others. But these are, as you would well recognize, not the manifestation of the thoughts of those who would have things be otherwise. And I would agree with you completely. It is important to understand the reality in which you exist, to ignore them, which indeed has been their desire and intent, does not have them not exist. It is a nonsense. And indeed, healing your own, what you might call dark aspects, your own wounded selves, requires you to shine the light on this also. You cannot heal this by ignoring it. And it is true for all levels of this interference, both from the personal healing through to healing of the planet and healing of the cosmos and beyond.
Thank you, Steve. Douglas, did you have another question with regards to the dark?
Well, yeah, that answer is beautiful. So in regards to the timeline, in regards to the dark, there's a lot to be done prior to this timeline of actual ascension. There's much to be done. And is there any, how to put this, in other words, that timeline as we approach it, its impact grows stronger, or it we have to wait right up until that timeline, if that makes sense. In other words, I'm feeling that as we draw closer, the impact is greater, and therefore some of these things such as rejuvenation and other things that need to come forth could more readily come forth. And wondering how that ties into what you've just explained with this relationship to the dark and those of us who are working to bring the light through.
Let's put this in a little bit more simple context here.
Because you
kind of rambled on a little, and I understand it's because you are so interested in finding out as much as possible. And what you're really talking about here is the nature of the dark. And what Steve mentions is that there are people on Earth who are attuned to, what shall we say, the agenda of the dark. And so they're human beings, but they bring forth the dark agenda. Then there are beings on the other side who are of the dark nature. And they fight very hard with allowing anything that has to do with the light to come forth. And then it's fair enough to say we have this boundary. And is it fair? Is this the kind of question you want to know? What is going to happen when we get to this boundary? What will happen with the dark? Is that something that is in your mind?
Yeah, and as we approach the boundary as well, like between this moment in time where we are right now, leading up to that time.
Okay, so Steve, what we would like to know, in your opinion, is what will happen to the dark when we get to that boundary, and will the dark lessen their grasp upon humanity as we approach that boundary? Is that fair, Douglas?
Yes, beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful.
Okay, good.
To answer the first aspect of your question, in simple terms, the dark will be completely disabled, you might say, at the time of that December 2012 solstice, not just upon your planet, but indeed everywhere. Indeed, all beings that have walked the path of darkness have the option to return to the light and be healed at any point. And so, indeed, many have chosen to do that. However, those that do not will find themselves being, you might say, deconstructed. You may be aware that souls within this cosmos, and similarly in similar ways elsewhere, are made up from particles on loan from the creator of this cosmos, from all there is. And those particles are held together energetically to form a soul. And that soul is the essence of what you might say drives that individual, that individual's existence. And those that have chosen to remain on the path of the dark will find those energies that bind together those soul particles removed. You may recognize that indeed all that exists within this cosmos arises from the powerful background energy field. And so that aspect of energy which arises from that background energy field will be removed from the souls of all particles, that the souls of all beings that remain on the path of the dark, and that will occur at that moment. So this is how events will unfold, and this is what I mean by the ending of the cycle of the dark. This will be the experience. And so looking at the other aspect of your question, which is what will happen between now and then, it is true that there is some important preparation to be done for humanity. And it is also true that those of the dark are fighting very hard to prevent the ascension process upon planet Earth, because they mistakenly believe that if they prevent this, they will prevent the ending of the cycle of the dark. In fact, this is not the case, but they believe it to be so. And in a sense, their efforts to prevent this have been very, very intense indeed. They, you might say, are throwing everything at it to prevent this. And so this in its own way has delayed the unfolding of the preparation. But I will say to you that all of the preparation that is necessary will get done and will be done. Other speakers upon this radio show in the past have mentioned that time is not the linear experience that you take it to be. It is more flexible than you realize. And so even though it seems like a small time window, you will be amazed by how the pieces that are required to come together for this preparation will indeed come together, and all of the preparation that is necessary will unfold. I will also add that this experience of delay, of this sense of this preparation and unfolding, has given the opportunity to those who wish to continue to pursue a path of doubt and fear to do so right up to the latest moment. There are many who have understandings of this mission and this work and this preparation and this unfolding who, because of the delays, have given life to their fears and doubts. And this, in a sense, is all part of the energies that have existed in this cycle. And so all of this is making this time that remains a very intense time. But let me tell you, all that is necessary for the preparation will unfold. Truly, it will unfold. And so it is.
Thank you, Steve. Was there another aspect of this, Douglas, that you wish to pursue as far as the dark is concerned?
I'm a little emotional. Oh, that answer just really touched me.
It touches us all, my dear. Did you get all that you wanted to know from Steve with regards to the dark?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just the clarity of understanding that it is necessary for us, as we hold the light and work for the light and bring through the light, that we also are aware of the reality of the dark, and that it's not, you know, some figment of our imagination or
no, it's
some
not.
Other. You know, and that in that awareness we understand this is a very real thing, and it's a very real battle, and it's a very real spiritual war that's occurring, and that it is important to be alert and to participate with all the energy we have from our light force and our own souls. That's how it's feeling.
Thank you, Douglas. We appreciate your question. And
thank
we're
you.
Getting up, you're welcome, dear. We're getting up to the hour when we have to stop questions and answers. There was an issue I wanted to pursue, and I don't know if we can answer this in a minute. Is there any way that we can stop the dark from this time until that barrier comes when the dark will be disabled. Do we have any tools, Steve, that we could stop the dark?
It is difficult for me to answer this question in a manner which does not compromise the nature of the reality in which you find yourselves, because there are rules, if you will, that relate to any particular expression of consciousness that do need to be respected. I will simply say to you that the preparation will be undertaken that is needed, and you too, I know, have battled long and hard in your incredibly challenged way to see this interference end and to bring forth all that is necessary for humanity to prepare. And I will say to you, all of that will unfold. It may not unfold in the moment that you expect or in exactly the way that you would like it to. But I will say to you that just as this cycle boundary that we have discussed of December 21st will unfold, so too the preparation necessary to have those that choose the path of the light pass through that singularity and move forward into the consciousness of their choice, free and clear of any future disruption or difficulty, that preparation all will indeed unfold as is required. And that is as far as I can go in terms of answering your question.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate everything that you've given us. And for those of you who are interested in the e-books that Steve has given us, you can find the information on our website. And I'd like to thank Steve for coming forth and bringing all this wonderful information. And you in particular, Richard, with the difficult work that you do in bringing such clarity to these answers. And so I say to everyone, good night for now. And how about you, Richard?
Well, thank you, Carolyn, for all of your beautiful work. And Steve, I appreciate you coming forth in this way. And I appreciate the opportunity to be your vehicle, you might say, for this material to come forth. And thank all of you who have joined us in this show, because it really is because of you that this show exists. Thank you.
Good night for now, and all of you, bless you from the bottom of our hearts. Good night.